Welcome to Sleeping with Sarah. I'm Sarah Albritton, a narcoleptic comedian, and this is a podcast where I interview people in my bed and we talk about sleep, comedy, and relationships. I'm happy to be part of the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. For my 49th episode, I had an awesome conversation with Chicago comedian Brandon Kiefer. We talk about bedwetting, like peeing on a girl by accident. We talk about squirting, religion, crazy locksmithing stories, and much more. You can catch Brandon Kiefer performing on March 2nd at Unchartered Books for Congrats on Your Success, and on March 3rd at North for Beef. For more upcoming dates, please visit his Facebook at facebook.com/BK3822. And you can catch me at Small Town Brewery in Wakanda on the 17th and at MCL on the 21st. Sleeping with Sarah is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah to get a free audiobook of your choice. This week, I'd like to recommend Bedwetter by Sarah Silverman. Again, that's audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah. If you like the podcast, please subscribe and rate and review on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud. And please follow me on Twitter at Sarah Albritton. Well, let's get started with the show. Welcome to Sleeping with Sarah. I'm Sarah Albritton, and I'm here with my guest, Kiefer, or Brandon Kiefer.
I have a first name, yes.
Everyone calls you Kiefer,
so. Yes, true.
How'd you sleep last night, Brandon?
Oh, boy.
It feels weird to say Brandon.
I know.
I tried it. I was like, no. How'd you sleep last night, Kiefer?
It feels weird to say my name myself, actually, because I hear Kiefer so much. Well, if we're going to get right into it. Mm-hmm. Last night was an interesting night. I had a friend over. And we were talking about this before. This is so funny. We'll start from the beginning. I was a bedwetter when I was a child.
Oh, okay. So yeah. This definitely covers the sleep part of Sleeping with Sarah.
I was about to say, we're knocking this right out. Yeah. So I had an underdeveloped bladder as a kid. So I was totally a bedwetter. Up until I was, like, a reasonable age. It wasn't, you know...
What was it, like, 12?
Probably younger than that.
Younger.
Yeah. So it wasn't a big issue in my childhood life, you know what I mean? And then it went away for years. And then at 27, it came back. Like...
Do you think something happened, like, emotionally that, like, brought you back to childhood?
Oh, probably, but I don't think that's what...
Did somebody knock you out and knock you all the way back to childhood? No. And you started.
It's a very specific mixture. I've learned what it is, like, the, 'cause it's not like it happens all the time, but like once a year or maybe twice a year at the extreme. What it is like I've realized the exact scenario where it happens is if I work too much that day, like I have a very long day, like longer than usual. Mm-hmm. Which yesterday I actually started a band with some guys and was practicing with them, and I haven't played drums in 3 years. So I played for several hours drums and I was shutdown mode when I went to bed that night. Cause I actually did a show at this guy's birthday thing.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But there were lots of alcohol, lots of mixed drinks with Bacardi 151.
Oh, 151? Oh, man.
There was like these fruity cocktails called Hurricanes. That we were drinking, and that mixture of too much bad alcohol, being completely exhausted, and then passing out is the fatal mixture for me.
Well, similar to you, when I have a falling down episode with the narcolepsy, a lot of times that can be like me working too hard or going back to back with stuff and not getting enough rest and just pushing yourself too hard. And that's when that happens.
Yeah.
Which you are one of the few people that have seen me do that.
I know. It was so quick and happened so fast. It looked like it was staged almost because you just like literally crumbled.
It absolutely was not because it was the back of a show I run and I was running around doing something.
It was so unexpected. It was very unexpected because, you're just talking and then you're just like, boop. You're like, I'm going away now.
Yeah, it happens and I can't help it. I can tell it's going to happen, but not enough time to stop it.
Yeah.
If I'm walking with somebody or somebody that knows me, like, I guess Pavs can see it happening. But other than that, like, not too many of my friends, Pavs and Amanda could see it happening. But like, usually guys I date are probably the ones that see it the most.
So is it stress that does it, you think? Well, or just...
Well, if I didn't take medicine for it, I mean, in high school, I used to have it like 3 times a day. Oh, so, wow. And now I do it like once a month, once every 2 months. And I'm on this medication that really helps it a lot. But it's called a cataplexy. It's a falling down thing. For those of you that don't know, we're talking about the falling down thing that most people associate with narcolepsy. And that only 40% of the people have narcolepsy experience this. And I'm one of those lucky ones. Yes. The weird one is when you have a face one. So I can have one that's not your that face full body. Falls asleep. Yes. Like half of my face could fall down and look like I'm like drooping. Like it could be half my face.
I wonder how many times people are like, what the fuck is she looking at?
it's a really weird thing, but like if I'm sitting down, sometimes that will happen. And it happens at heightened emotions sometimes. So if I'm really angry or upset or stressed, or I've done it where I've laughed so hard that I've fallen asleep. But I don't like to tell a lot of comics that because I don't want them to make me laugh so hard.
You've never fallen asleep at an open mic.
Definitely. Well, not for that reason.
Wide awake, yeah.
So back to the bedwetting. So how old were you when it started? Or did you just...
Just as a kid. Just as a little kid. It was one of those things. Like I said, I went to the doctor for it and I had an underdeveloped bladder. Shout out to my doctor. Yeah, so that was weird as a kid, but it went away. Like I said, it was never an issue. And then years later, when I started working really hard at like my job, I think is what started it. Because if I work like a 12 or a 14 hour day or something like that.
That's long.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Well, I used to work with the locksmithing. I was working 70 hours a week for the first year and a half that I worked there.
I want to talk about the locksmithing for a while. So you know how to, like, unlock any lock, basically?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do safes. Like, safes are the thing that I don't really mess with, but...
Because you don't want, like, some, like, crew of people trying to break into stuff to, like, recruit you, that kind of thing.
No,
you don't want to be part
I want that part of it. That's the cool part. Like, I want to be part of a heist, for sure.
Yeah, you want to be in a heist?
I'm just learning, yeah.
I feel like you are a character in a heist movie. Like, yeah. I feel like there is a character that is you that belongs in a heist movie.
Yeah. It's disgusting how much I've realized what security is and, like, how secure things really are. Like, banks are probably the most, like, stuff like that, it's not even real, like... The safe is a whole thing in itself. And there's a guy at our company that does safes, which they're really cool, but I don't think that's really what I want to do. Like I said, I just learned how to break into stuff years ago. So
now, were you breaking into stuff before you decided to be a locksmith, or were you a locksmith and then you learned how to break into stuff?
I learned how to break into stuff from being a locksmith.
Yeah. Okay. So you weren't like just like... Like a kid who just loved breaking into stuff, and you're like, well, I might as well get paid to do this.
Funny enough, I did break in as a kid to a closet in my house where all my Christmas presents were. That's the first thing I ever broke into. And I saw all my presents weeks before Christmas, and it ruined Christmas completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, ruined Christmas. But with the locksmithing thing, I needed a job, and there was an ad on Craigslist to learn how to break into cars. And to do it, like, as a roadside gig, like, assistant thing. And I applied, I got the job, and then they paid me to go down to Florida to this giant junkyard. Like, miles of junkyard with, like, every car you can imagine. And for a week, I just smoked a bunch of weed and broke into cars all day long. And learned how to break into every car.
So you know how to break into cars, too.
Oh, everything.
Do you know how to hotwire a car?
Basically, it's a very simple thing. Like,
oh my gosh.
But it's not like.
So if I get locked out of my car or my apartment, I can just call you.
Anything.
And you can.
Anything. It's disgusting. Like,
so how easy is it to break into things?
Well, all right. So what you see in movies is difficult.
Like the Donna 60 Seconds stuff.
Yeah. Well, not cars. Cars are all. Every car out there is easy. Very easy.
What? Why and how?
Because once you get the basic concept of how it works, it's all about just the tool. Like, so if you have a tool and you know how to use the tool.
And are these tools extremely expensive? Or are they easy to get on them?
Some states are harder. Like, Georgia doesn't, where I'm from, Georgia, they don't care. You can just order them there and buy them. But I think Chicago, I think you have to be licensed or something. I don't know.
Weird. So there are these specific tools that just, like...
That are made to break into cars, yeah. And then, you know, there's a pick set, like a lock pick set that I use to break in, like, to pick locks. All the cars, no matter how fancy the electronics are, it's still a mechanism that controls the door.
Yeah.
So, you can always break into a car. Very easy.
So do you ever find stuff behind the doors or behind the cars that really surprise you? Like, what's the weirdest thing you found?
Well, the one I've actually been, this just happened a week ago, was, I have so many crazy stories about the locksmith thing. But the one that happened a week ago was I got a call that a guy had gotten his door kicked in and people were trying to murder his wife. And they wanted me to come out and repair the door and, like, fix everything.
Wait. Repeat what you just said. All right,
so let's back up. So I don't really break into stuff that much anymore. Like, there's, like, levels of locksmithing, I guess. You know? Like, the more advanced you get at it, the more you don't even, like, the learning, it's funny, because learning how to break into stuff is, like, the amateur level locksmith.
Okay, so if you want to just learn how to break into stuff, just apply to be a locksmith. Like, entry level.
Yep, entry level.
And then they will teach you everything.
That's fucking freshman year. Hungover. Yeah, so that's how criminals are made. It's like college for dropouts.
You know? I wonder if they have any, like, felony hire programs they do.
Yeah, I always think about that. I don't know. It's like, because people are like, you know.
Continue with the break-in story.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I get so distracted with that. But, yeah, so it's the more advanced you do. So now I am pretty high up because I've been there for a long time. I've known how to do it for so long. So I do stuff like if someone kicks in your door and breaks in, I'll come fix it.
So in this situation, why did the guy kick in his door?
Okay, so the start of it is, it's a call, the guy's freaked out, someone's trying to kill his wife.
And he calls a locksmith?
Yeah, because I repair doors and can add security and or whatever, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And it might be the most hungover I've ever been at work the day this happened. And it's funny, because so we have to get there, write a quote, you know what I mean? And it's really funny, because he's like, very much like, there's no price that you can put on my wife's safety. I don't care. And it's them together when I'm meeting with them, you know, when I'm taking measurements and everything. It's like, oh, I don't care what we got to spend. You know what I mean? I want to keep my family safe.
What did it look like their story was?
So hold on. So when I met them during the day, completely fine, normal, whatever. But we could tell something was weird, you know? So it was really funny. So he's like, no price you can put on my wife's life. And so I wrote him a quote. And for the replacement and everything. And he calls me back without his wife. And he's like, do you think we can do something more economical?
So he wanted to seem like, hey, no cost. Doesn't matter to me. She leaves the room. Hey, buddy, can you give me a deal?
Yeah, no, exactly. I figured, like, she's sleeping at this time. Like,
oh, my
she's like,
God.
And he's like, you know what? She didn't even clean.
So pissed if I were that wife. I'd be like, uh-huh. You said I was worth any amount of money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And I was joking about it. I was like, you could shoot her yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you want from me.
Did they say why someone was trying to murder
her? All right, so, yeah. So then, you know, I write a cheaper quote for them, you know, for their love.
What do you value their love at?
Well, cheaper? I just think that, you know, he's probably trying to save some money for the funeral, you know, like, you know. So, yeah, so I was like, all right, we'll give you the second quote, which is the at least we fucking tried, you know, like, version. And he went with the cheaper one, for sure. I get there early on that day to do the work, and I do the work and everything. And, you know, I'm there all day because I'm replacing all this stuff. And they end up being just drunks, like addicts or something. And by the end of the
day... Did they seem like addicts and you met with them during the day?
No. No, well, they seemed a little, like, scummy-ish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But not... Tweaked out.
But not tweaked out. And I didn't see drugs or anything, but they were drinking on a Tuesday at noon.
Mm.
And then by 6-7 o'clock when I finished, everybody in the house was blackout. And there's like two couples and they're all drunk.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you thought someone was coming to kill your wife, would you just like get drunk with her?
I guess. I just think it's so funny. He's like, you can't put a price on my wife's life. And he totally did. It was $2,400. His wife is worth $2,400.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the blue book on his wife is $2,400. She's a 98 Honda Civic, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you get her name? Have you kept track to see if...
No, I got the hell out of there. I think it's probably drug related or something like that. but we get like kids get locked in stuff all the time. We've unlocked dead bodies and stuff like that.
Yeah? Yeah. Sorry, I just like had a shiver. Is there a dead body in here? No, no, God, no. I've never seen a dead body. Well, except for I have for funerals, but I've never seen like a dead body that hasn't been dressed up and added.
They're pretty much the same, just without makeup. Like, that's the difference.
Yeah, that's so weird. So do you have to call the police?
No, the police, I deal with the police a lot at my job, actually. Police are involved. Do you have a speed dial? Yeah, no, they'll be waiting, because we do evictions. That's another one, is we have to go there when people get kicked out, so it's the police department. Like, all the interesting stories I have, the police are there. Like, DEA busts. They'll call a locksmith out to unlock certain things. Yeah, I had a DEA bust, and they had, like, raided the apartment.
You ever worried that you have something in your pocket or something?
Oh, I always do. Like, I always have something illegal in my van, probably. But they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about lock. I passed a background check, and I have no felonies, so that's good enough.
Yep, that works.
But, yeah, DEA bust. This was real shady. So they busted this guy's apartment, and they call me out to unlock his car, right? So I unlocked the car, and the cops search the car, all good. And they kind of, like, one of the cops comes up to me, and he's like, do you know how to pick into a glove compartment? I'm like, yeah, sure. And so I was like, cool. I pick into the glove compartment, and he goes, can you open the glove compartment? And I'm like, it's weird. Okay, so sure, I open the glove compartment. He's like, will you hit that trunk release button? And I'm like, yeah. And I hit the button, it pops, the trunk pops open. All the cops swarm the trunk and put their hands behind their backs and are trying to look in without touching it. And then he's like, hey, will you lift the trunk up for me? And I go, ah, fuck it. Why not? Yeah. And I open the trunk. There's nothing in it. There's nothing in it.
What were they worried about?
But the thing, I realized what it is, they didn't have a warrant so they had a warrant, I guess, for the car. But not anything that was locked inside of the car. You know what I mean? Like, a warrant has specific wording, you know.
So then were you technically breaking the law?
You got it.
So the cops
made me break the law and then chose not to arrest me.
Well, it would have been pretty dickish if they arrested you.
Yeah, that would have been the moment where I'm like, oh, damn it. Like,
never trust a cop, kid.
Jesus. That was right in my face. Yeah, no, there's definitely moments like that that made me go, okay, no one really cares about security.
So we didn't go back to the original story, which is about last night.
Oh.
That you slept, because we went on 3 different tangents.
So I peed on that girl.
Wait, yeah,
what the point of that was.
Wait. Hold on. So the girl you had your friend you hooked up with.
That we read Harry Potter books together with. Yeah.
It's so funny because I hear times when girls think that they squirt and they accidentally pee on the guy, but I haven't heard of a guy. Oh, yeah.
No, she didn't squirt at all. I just straight peed on her.
She wasn't into
good old-fashioned, what are the water sports? Is that what it's called? Yeah, no. Actually, I've peed on 3 girls now in my career.
Do you warn them? No, you don't. I mean, I tell people.
I'm more of an apology guy. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
At least I tell people before I sleep with them that I have narcolepsy in case I randomly fall asleep in the middle of sex, yeah. So they don't have a complex about it.
The best one was the ex that I lived with when I first moved here. She wasn't even cool with the idea that I peed in the shower. Like, she lost her mind about that idea.
Oh.
Do you pee in the shower, Sarah?
No, I don't.
See? Listeners out there at home, call in. Who pees in the shower?
Yes, this is a live radio show and not a podcast that we'll be listening to.
The phones are lighting up. There's a great podcast called Tuesdays with Stories with Mark Norman and Joe List that they have the best podcast gags, like where it's like a live show, but it's a podcast.
I love that.
I cannot stop referencing all their podcast gags when I do a bite, so.
No, that's fine. It's That's still crazy. So wait, what has been the different, the three girls that you've accidentally peed
They're
on,
all chill.
What has been the reaction? Like, did anybody sleep through it? Did all somebody right. wake up? Like, what were the three? I have
there's
no.
There's three levels. There's three levels. You really get inside of a woman's head when you pee on her, you know? You find out if she's a committed lady.
You and know. Were these all hookups or girlfriends?
Look,
or?
I was marking my territory. I am but an animal. So the first one was great because it was, I think it was very early on. It was like, it might've been the first time I'd peed the bed since I was a child, and I had worked, selling snow. I used to own a little snow cone business in Georgia, and it pulled behind a bicycle, and I sold snow cones for like all day long on this bicycle in the middle of the summer, and was exhausted. We went out drinking, totally slept in her roommate's bed that night because she had family in town that were using her bed, and peed all over her and her roommate's bed. And this is before I knew how to like play it cool after you pee on a girl. Oh. How to go before I was experienced, you know? And I totally woke up in the middle of the night, took all the sheets off the bed with her sleeping on it, washed them and put them back on before she woke up. And she still does not know.
Because she didn't sleep
Katie,
in the bed
Katie, if you're listening.
So she didn't sleep in the bed with you.
She did. She was in the bed. Yeah.
How did you?
We were all exhausted. I only woke up because generally when it happens, I wake up the moment it happens.
So you, how did you take the sheets out of the bed without her knowing?
She was just passed out.
A heavy sleeper.
A heavy sleeper.
Passed out. Yeah. Okay.
Passed out.
So you washed everything. It didn't go through the mattress or anything. Yeah, no?
Little bit.
We're being real honest.
I mean, I was pretty quick. Like I said, it's not a blackout drunk thing. You know, because okay. I know people that wet the bed because they blackout. You know what I mean? And have you ever had like a friend that's gotten up and peed in the closet or something crazy? Yeah. So that's not what it is at all. I remember the whole night.
It's just a little bit.
It's because, you know, you drink and you have to pee a lot. You know what I mean? But I'm so exhausted when I go to bed, heavy sleeper, I guess a busted bladder. I'm not firing all cylinders with the bladder, I guess.
No, so you were able to wash everything and put it back on.
I was pretty proud of that, yeah. And she never knew.
That's crazy.
It was hours. It was hours of shivering cold in my underwear.
That's crazy.
I washed my clothes, too. It didn't really get on her.
Did you hook up before you did that? Or
yeah. No? Yeah. We were dating. Yeah. For like, not very long. I think we dated for like a month. So it was like right in the middle of
it. Parents are pretty cool with like, if I was dating a guy for only a month and my parents came to stay with me, they probably would expect him not to sleep in the same bed.
It wasn't like
me.
Parents. I think it was, if I remember, it was their brother.
Oh, well, that's
different. Yeah. Not parents. It was her brother and his friend or something like that.
And so, what's the next level?
So the next level was the girl that actually moved to Chicago. We were dating. I didn't move here for her specifically. I was moving to L.A. And she's like, look, I know you're moving for comedy. Regardless, Chicago's a great place for comedy. We had kind of started talking again. So I was like, we had dated before. And I came and I moved here. This was before I moved. She was at my house and totally just peed all over her.
Wait, what was it? Is she lying on next to you or?
Yeah. Totally.
She's like lying on you. Yeah. Were you pee on her when you were cuddling?
I mean, I don't know. I was asleep. I don't know what I was doing. Oh, and I'm a pillow guy. So like I normally probably used her as a pillow and just peed all over her. I spoon piss.
Oh my God.
Spoon piss. That's a trademark move I do is a spoon pee.
Are you the big spoon?
I was a little spoon. It went over my head. Very curved thing.
Very flexible. Yeah, very flexible.
Weird angled penis. It goes to the side. It went right over my belly button.
Most women wake up with the spooning of a guy trying to like ram his erect penis in her ass, but you wake girls up by peeing.
It's like that's the equivalent of dumping a bucket of water on a sleeping person when you want sex.
So what did she do?
She was like, oh, no, 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 no. What the hell? No, she had the funniest line, I think. She goes, "Did you pee on me?" You know, in that moment, you really just want to, you know, if I was a scumbag, you just want to wake her up and be like, "Look what you did." Like, you know, get out. But I'm a good person. So I wash those sheets while people are sleeping. But no, she woke up and she's like, "Did you pee on me?" You know, in the morning.
What did you say?
Look, I'm just figuring it out at the time myself. Like, I'm trying to find fucking ground zero of the piss. Because when you wait, you don't know. You're like, "Oh, I spilled water on my bed." No. I only spilled water on my crotch and there's no cup. And the water smells like urine. Growing up, when I was a little kid, I was always put with other bedwetters in scenarios. So it was just me and somebody else peeing on each other as kids.
You were like Fuller from Home Alone?
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to stay at friends' houses when I was real little. Only my cousins. Because they didn't care if I peed on my cousins, I guess.
Like, their mom was a bitch to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, they're already fucked up. My mom locked me in the closet once.
So... Wait.
Oh, wait.
What's this girl? Wait, what did you back. Say back to that when she said, no. "Did you pee on me?"
She goes, "Did you pee on me?" And I'm like, "I think so." And she goes, "If you do that two or three more times, we're going to have a problem."
Wow. She was very, pretty
and she was weird about me peeing in the shower. What a hypocrite. Okay.
So, was she like a girlfriend too?
I was living with her.
Oh.
Oh, wait. No, I lived with her after I peed on her.
That is an accomplishment.
Yeah, you're right.
If you can get to the point where you're living with a girl after you peed on her and it wasn't for like a sexually requested thing.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Props,
that's
man.
That's how you know you got it. You know? That odd curved penis. No.
I have a feeling you do have an odd curved penis under this conversation.
It's an innie.
What? I don't. Anyways.
Folks, call in.
And the third girl was last night?
Yep. And she was just like, I should have known this was going to happen.
Wait, was this a girl you're seeing or just a random? Or you don't know
it's,
yet?
It's right down the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Was this the first
it's
time
not,
we slept
it's
with
not,
her?
No. It's not. It's not a, it's neither way.
Let's hope it's not a comic, otherwise it's going to end up on stage.
Oh, it's already being written right now, yeah.
Oh!
So, folks at home, when you hear some ladies doing some piss bits, write in.
Oh!
I'm setting her up for success by talking about this already on a podcast. I'm beating her to it.
Well, I'm not going to ask who it is, because
I would never.
About that. I'll ask about it I'm recording.
I was going to drop just a random name, but I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, because the girl who I did it to, that's probably the name that I would have dropped to. I would have known it would have been cool with me dropping the name. So I will save
that
her.
Person.
No hints either.
Okay, good.
She runs a showcase. No. anyway, so either way. So she was totally down. She was cool.
Well, did she? She probably, because of comedy, she probably knew you had bedwetted before.
Yeah, I have done bedwetting jokes.
So she wasn't a surprise to her like the other two girls.
Well, I mean, I think it's always surprising, you know, for everyone. I don't think it's like, just another day. But it was, yeah, I had forewarned. I had forewarned. I was like, you know what? If you hang out with me long enough, I might pee on you.
That's what I do to people. I'm like, hey, if you hang around with me long enough, I'm going to fall asleep on you.
It's not a problem that will happen all the time. It doesn't reoccur, but it's, you know, sometimes...
That's very similar to the disclaimer I use for narcolepsy.
Sometimes it just lands, you know, you just roll craps, you know?
That's funny. That's crazy.
But, it's, you know, I've also learned to be like, you know, look, hey, this is the scenario, by the way. It may never happen or it may happen tonight, so...
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And then, after that, you find out if, you know, they might be into it, you know?
Have you ever had anybody into it?
No, I don't know yet. We'll find out. I'm going to keep peeing my way.
Do you think you'd be into it?
You know, no. I don't think I'm into it. I say think. I don't know. Because the more I pee on people, the more I think about it. No. I'm like, this would be way more convenient.
What if your body is just telling you something?
It seems like it would be very... I should get into it, because if I went to bed, it'll save so much heartbreak in my life. It's like, I don't sexually like it, but I'm going to learn to love it so that it's not a problem anymore.
So, one last question about bedwetting, and then we'll talk about something else.
Oh, I could talk all day.
Have the most recent bedwetting has only happened with other people in the bed, or have you done it also by yourself?
Hilarious. All right, this is the third part of this, or however many parts. So, I lived with a guy who had the same problem, but he would black out. Like, he would just get too drunk, mm-hmm. and he would just piss his bed. And, hilariously, living with that dude, we would jokingly write on a piece of paper, days since last accident. and change the date periodically. And then one of us, when we'd pee the bed, we'd go cross it out and write a giant red circle.
How many days did you last? What was the longest?
Oh, boy. I think, what was it? Mine, I sent him one. Every time I pee the bed, I send him a picture of it now still because he lives in Georgia.
Wait, if there's a girl involved, did you send a picture with the girl in the picture too?
You know, if I can get the whole angle. depends on the lighting. But we periodically will send a picture, you know, once a year, every 6 months, whatever it is. Mm. Days since last accident and a big zero.
That's funny.
You know, what are you going to do?
What can you do?
When you love something, you got to pee on it, you know?
Got to mark it as yours.
It's mine. Mm. Yeah. And now that lady carries my scent, and other men will be warded off. They know I have bested them. Have you ever been peed on, Sarah? No, did I already ask you that?
No, I have not been peed on.
You've never lived.
I mean, I did, right before my narcolepsy system started to kick in a lot, I did have one peeing the bed incident when I was 13, and this is right when my narcolepsy kind of started. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know if it has to do with that, but I never had that issue, but I have had the situation where I peed the bed once.
Yeah.
So, and that was, I was at a friend's house, and that was embarrassing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, that's the worst, is just not being at your house when it happens, because if I just did it, and I woke up, it's like a tree falling in the forest. You know what I mean? If I just peed my own bed, and I don't have to tell anybody.
I'll have hallucinations that I pee my... I'm afraid of it, like, because my hallucinations are so realistic. I've had hallucinations where I thought I peed the bed, mm-hmm. and I wake up and I didn't. And then I go to the bathroom.
I think that's exactly what I have, except for I pee the bed. No, I'm saying, like...
Do you hallucinate?
I picture it. I dream it.
Yeah. Like, do you dream that you're in the bed, or do you dream that you're in the bathroom?
I dream that I'm doing something else.
Oh.
Where it's free for me to pee.
Gotcha.
Because I think...
You're, like, swimming in the ocean, taking a shower.
Or hooking up with some freaks. No,
We don't judge, no slut shaming or fetish shaming on this podcast.
I said freaks, yeah. Don't piss shame me. I won't stand for it. I will not be pee shamed.
Pee shamed.
I'm speaking out for all my people.
My pee associates.
I don't shit. People. I'm not a shitter, okay? I haven't shit my bed, or my bed. I've never shit my bed. And I haven't shit my pants. In a very long time. Since I was a child. Of the age 20. Yeah. No. I don't have problems with the shitting at all. Like, so.
I didn't ask that, but thanks for
I'm just answering. I want to make it clear to my constituents that I am piss only. Pee on
number
my face.
Number one, not number two. There's
pee
a line.
Pee on my face, don't poop. I can't handle poop at all.
Now that we've gotten all the peeing stuff out of the way and the bedwetting.
I don't think it's all out of my life.
At least for this one. Maybe we'll have a follow-up one in a couple of years. Yeah. And I'll see, you know, where your accident report is at that time.
I think if I peed on this Tempur-Pedic, it would never forget.
Oh, actually, I have a special cover for the Tempur-Pedic. Because when I went to buy the mattress, I had to ask a lot of weird questions so that I could get something that would cover it. So I kept being like, hey, because I tend to squirt a little bit when I have sex.
Hey-o!
So I had to make sure I had a mattress cover.
Did you go to the mattress salesman and say it like that?
No.
Hello, sir. Is that Todd? Hey, Todd. My name is Sarah.
I wish I had the balls to do that at the time, but I was with my boyfriend at the time who was kind of shy, quieter kind of guy. So
He's
I was
terrified.
Like...
terrified. You're shooting fluids at him when you have sex.
Oh, he fucking loved it. He didn't know that was possible.
You know, so is there some pee in that?
No, so actually, I've mentioned pee. This as a tip before. So ladies, if you're, because the thing is, when you squirt, it's the same sensation as right before you're going to pee, which is why a lot of women don't squirt, because they hesitate. They feel like they're going to pee on the guy. So what I always recommend is before you have sex, go to the bathroom, pee, clean your, rinse yourself out, and then go back to it. Because then when that feeling comes, you let go and you relax and you just let it happen. Because you know it's not pee because you just emptied out.
Or you find yourself a real man who doesn't care what comes out of it. He loves you regardless.
True. But that is a little tip. I strongly recommend it. I recommended that to friends. And within like 6 months, they've told me, hey, I did it. They like texted me like, hey, I finally did it. It's possible. And I'm like, yes. Go you!
I think these women are probably just peeing on guys.
No, it actually does, like, smell and taste different. You can tell a difference. I'm getting into specifics here.
I've experienced that.
Yeah?
It's great. It's great.
But there is a slightly different sensation. You can definitely tell the difference. Because there have been times where I've accidentally, like, peed a little bit, but that was, like, when I was really... I was, like, 19 or 20 when that
happened. So does it actually... Are you getting pressure behind it?
Yeah, so there's some positions...
Is that what's on the wall over here?
No. No. If we're getting into real specifics, sometimes there's some positions that just don't work for it because, like, doggy style doesn't work because I will literally push the dick out and it doesn't work. So usually you have to be, like, on top. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. But fuck it.
It's like trying to cover a fire hydrant.
I mean, it depends. Sometimes it does that, you know.
Bad analogy.
But you also have to be hydrated enough. So it's like bad. Like, so if a guy knows that I can squirt, which now that it's on the podcast, anyone that feels like listening to it will know that. So it's like anytime I know I have to drink like 4+ glasses of water beforehand to make sure I can do it. Because, like, if I'm not hydrated enough, it won't happen.
That makes sense.
And so it's almost like a thing. It's like if I want to be able to do that, you know?
I want to show my magic trick.
It's not a magic trick. I mean,
what's this behind your ear?
But, yeah, I hope I answered your question on that. I don't know.
I have so many more.
This whole podcast is going to be bedwetting and squirting.
Now we're partying. Thank God you got this cover on the bed. Excuse me, Todd from the Tempur-Pedic Mattress place.
Oh.
It's not pee. It's actually squirt.
No, what I asked him, because I was just such a chicken shit at the time, I said, do you have any cover for the mattress that's like, if I have like a glass of water on it and it's spilled?
He looks at you and he's like, why are you drinking water on your bed?
It was such a lame thing. But back then, I was a little bit lame, too.
You have a cover for if I get into a water balloon fight with my neighbors and it ends in my bedroom. Like, this guy's like, this girl pees the bed. Yeah, we certainly do have piss covers, miss. It's all right through you.
Great mattress.
I just love that. Sometimes I like to enjoy tall glasses of water while relaxing in my bed. I have Parkinson's and I need something.
Oh, this is fun.
This guy's like. I had to do the mattress, the bed covers, though. The whatever, bed liners, yeah. Whatever, when I was young. And I always joked that kids had theme beds like Batman and like Ghostbusters, and my theme bed was like Make-A-Wish because it was all like hospital sheets.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think they give Make-A-Wishes to bedwetters, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't get to Make-A-Wish. You don't get to go to Disney World this year, little Brandon. Just, again, you're not going to be able to sleep at your friend's house.
This is fun. We haven't touched on comedy at all, but clearly you're very funny. You started in Georgia, right?
Yep.
Savannah. We almost went to the same school, probably at very different times, but I almost went to SCAD.
What year would you have went? Yeah, probably so. I'm
like,
very old.
07?
You would have been.
Start?
That would have been the year before I started, or the year after I started. So I definitely would have.
Yeah, it would have been 07.
I definitely would have partied with you somewhere because that city's so small.
Yeah, there was such a cute town. I visited it and everything. I got accepted. It's a dual in photography and theater, but I wanted to go to a school near a big city.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. SCAD is the big appeal of SCAD is people from big cities. They want to go to a liberal college.
Quaint.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's why SCAD's so popular. And that's how I met my friends that live in Chicago before I moved here and everything else.
Were you doing comedy in Georgia before you moved?
Yep, for 2 years. For 2 years in Georgia, I did comedy. I started at music open mics, just doing comedy and bombing real bad.
Yeah.
Similar to now, except for I do them at regular comedy open mics.
Then how long have you been in Chicago now? Like 5 years?
3 years.
3 years. Oh, I feel like it was longer.
Yeah, no. I moved actually January 1st, 3 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so you moved here right around the time where I was getting into it, so.
Well, yeah. Remember that really cold winter?
Yeah, that
was my third day in Chicago. That was
coming from Georgia.
That was welcome to Chicago. Go fuck yourself.
And the last today is like warm.
Oh, it's great. It's great. Yeah.
It's February, guys, and it is like leather jacket weather, like light leather jacket weather. Nothing.
Yeah, I will say though, me moving here when it was that cold and covered in snow, coming from Georgia where it doesn't snow, it only gets. I think the lowest it ever got was like 18 degrees, and we rode four-wheelers that night just to be idiots because we're like, this is the coldest this will, you know? And that being the worst day, you know what I mean? Like, and my first day, it literally only got nicer every day.
Oh, that's great.
You know what I mean?
So, like, every day you're like, okay, this is a bit nicer.
A little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then the snow melted, and I didn't even realize what neighborhood I lived in because everything was shut down and so closed in. Mm-hmm. And then the snow comes out and it was a whole, I lived in Avondale, but Logan Square is where I was hanging out and getting coffee and it melts. And then I'm like, holy fuck, where do I live? Oh my God. You know what I mean? It was like a whole different place. It was great because it was like I experienced brutal, brutal winter and then I got through it. And then I was like, man, you know, as soon as the new toy had worn off a little bit, mm-hmm. it became a new toy again.
Well, that's why the Chicago, it's just like the summer, everyone comes out. But then we haven't even had winter. Like, so you were doing stand-up the whole time. Did you do anything besides stand-up?
I played music. Yeah, music.
But no, like, improv or sketch
nope,
or anything?
Nope. I always did music up until I did stand-up.
And then you did drums or?
Bunch of stuff. I used to, so drums, I started in the band. And then I was like, this is for nerds. And then I got a drum set and started a punk band.
Oh, you mean like band in school?
Yeah, like the band. And I played trombone.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah. And I was like, this is for nerds. And then I started a punk band with some buddies.
A punk band.
Hell yeah. Fuck you, Dad, if you're listening. No, he's dead.
That makes me think of like SLC Punk.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah, it totally was.
Matthew Lillard with the bright blue hair. Yeah,
fuck you guys. You don't understand me. And then I get a bunch of piercings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a Christian punk band because we ain't having it for the Lord.
Were you like super religious at the time? Or are you?
No. I had a little stint because being from I'm from very deep Georgia. Like I didn't have neighbors growing up. It's as deep in the woods as you could live. And because of how there's nothing to do, the churches were the only things that had any kind of appeal.
Oh, like any social?
Any social at all. So once I hit about 15, 16, that age of like, I want to go do something other than hang out at my house like a little kid. You know what I mean? Then the church was like, let's go play laser tag for the Lord. And I'm like, fuck yeah, Jesus. You're like, yeah, we're shooting the devil with these lasers.
Now, did you get sucked in? Like, did you really believe it?
For a little bit. I was going through a lot of shit with my family and dad and shit. So like that just like helped me. For that time to get, you know what I mean? To kind of like get through everything. And I bought in whole, you know, completely bought in. Like I almost thought I was going to go to like become a preacher or something like that for a little bit.
You almost became a preacher.
And I was given sermons. I actually have a VHS tape of a sermon that I gave.
Oh my God. You have to play. You have to play that at a comedy show.
I found it. I found what? It not long ago. Oh my God, I totally need to.
We have to.
Who's got a VCR out there? Call in, guys.
Yeah. Yes, call in.
Who's got a VCR? Oh. Yeah, I have not watched it. I'm dying to watch it, though. I need to watch it by myself first.
I've got some old VHS stuff.
Or you know what? I should have a premiere where everybody watches it.
We should just have a comedy premiere. It should be a show where people just show embarrassing old videos of stuff as a kid or something.
That'd be great. Yeah, so I bought into it for sure, because I never really, my parents weren't super religious. They believed in God. My dad was kind of like, whatever. But, you know, it was the general belief in God was there. You know what I mean? From our, you know, very loosely. Mm-hmm. So then I was susceptible to buying into the whole thing when laser tag and prepubescent women were there. Like, yeah. You know, because it was like, there was no social activity where I was from. You know what I mean? Other than like rednecks. And the church was like the only thing that wasn't completely, it was like, I went to a progressive Southern church, okay. quote unquote, you know what I mean? But, which was like the only like shining light of just not rednecks and garbage. But I quit the church because of a gay guy getting a blowjob, actually.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So I had a friend that went to church with me. His name is, oh wait, no, I'm not going to say his name, but, cool guy, went to church, he's a gay dude, he is so funny, he's my friend, and the church was trying to convert him.
Oh, like convert, like...
Like get like him, not... to turn him straight, because he knew he was gay. He knew he was gay.
So he was out, in a state where you not as good to be out back then.
Well, he's in a church that was trying, you know, in fairness, like, they brought him in thinking, like, we're open to this.
So they brought him in for a good reason, not to shame him.
Not to shame him, but... in the hopes that they were going to turn him back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and it's so boring in Georgia. He's probably just like, you know what? I know I'm gay, but fuck it. I got nothing else to do. Let's see if some of that Jesus will straighten me up. Yeah. So he goes to church. He's the first like open. I think I knew gay people and stuff, you know, but it's not a very like open thing. And it's not discussed. It was just kind of like, you just kind of, I don't know. Yeah, I couldn't pinpoint anyone specifically up mm-hmm. until him. He's the first one I remember that I knew. And so they were trying to convert him, blah, blah, blah. And this is totally during the time of, like, truth or dare being, you know, mm-hmm. how you, like, figure things out, you know, like the spin the bottle era and stuff like that. So we're all doing crazy stuff, you know, any chance we get alone, you know, with the girls or boys mm-hmm. or whatever. And,
I love that you're making this motion yeah. as a...
Can they not see this on the podcast? Can they not see all my hand gestures? And...
Well, the audio comes out first, and the video comes out when I get a chance to edit it.
Oh, all right. Well,
until I get that intern. Who wants to be an intern? Give me a call. Yeah. Call in right now.
I didn't even think you were... I forgot that you were recording this. I'm just doing the hand gestures for myself and you. They had a 4th of July party, something, youth group thing, at the youth minister's house. Uh-huh. And during that time, something happened, and he ends up blowing a dude at the youth minister's house. So.
Did he get caught?
No. This is where it all comes into play. I find out about it, dude, because I'm friends with everybody. You know what I mean? At the church. And it really bugged me. Uh-huh. Because, not because gay or not gay. It bugged me because I didn't know what my stance was on it. You know what I mean?
Like, you didn't know how you personally thought about it. You knew how the church was telling you to think about it.
Yep. Yep.
Ah.
But I didn't know where I stood on the matter. So I was like, well, I want to talk to somebody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to figure this out. Like, where do I stand on this? So I went to, one of my friend's dads who is, like a deacon or something in the church, but he's a cool guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I thought he would be a dude that I could talk to and just get, like, real... Because we talked a lot, me and this guy. So I came to him and I was like, look, I want to talk to you, but I want this to be a conversation with me and you. Because this is just me trying to figure things out. You know what I mean? I don't want you to tell anybody because I know that it's not going to go well. I tell him the story. Boom. He rats the guy out. They kick the kid out of church.
What?
And I was just like, wow, fuck this. I'm out too. I was like, fucking, no, that's... I know where I stand on this now, so I'm gone, and I never went back to church.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did your friend appreciate you taking a stand as well?
Oh, no, he's gay. No, I'm joking. No, he's, yeah, no, he didn't know. He didn't know for years.
Did you tell him eventually?
I did. I saw him probably 10 years later at a bar, and I was like, hey, because we were friends, but we weren't, like, best friends, you know what I mean?
Close.
No, not close, but we were, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like... When he stopped going to church, it wasn't like I was going over to his house or anything like that, you know. We were social and friends because we would ride with the same guy together from church and, you know what I mean, that sort of thing. And I was one of the few people that were, like, friends with him at church. You know what I mean? I think I said, you know what I mean, like, 10 times. So.
We'll have a drinking game. When you listen back to the podcast, we'll listen to it.
Call
we'll
in, like, folks.
Every time.
Yeah, so I saw him, like, 10 years later, and I was like, yo, I haven't seen you. I just got to tell you, I didn't want to do this on Facebook or something dumb. And I told him the story, and he goes, huh. He's like, that's crazy. And that was it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating when people reach back out after, like, a 10 years have gone by or several years have gone by. Mm-hmm. That happens to me a lot, but mostly it's just exes apologizing.
Yeah. I don't ever.
Have you ever called anybody, like, that long after to tell them something?
No. No. I don't think I live with that kind of regret. You know what I mean? Like, I sure have tons of regret. Oh, my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't think... I mean, I don't know if I have anything to apologize to any exes for.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, I don't feel that urge either to, like, reach out to someone just to apologize. But I've had that happen to me, I'd say at least more than, probably between 5 and 10 people do that. Like, several years later, apologize after the fact.
So weird. Yeah, because I don't get that. Yeah, because for me, I'm like, I mean, of course there's things I regret, you know, in the relationship. But I think a lot of that just gets chalked up that you're in a relationship that's ending. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the fighting and the names and all that stuff, that's the worst part of it. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of just part of it sometimes. You know, it you don't want it to be. You grow and you try to get away from that. But early on, all the early stuff, I mean, you kind of chalk that up to learning, you know?
Yeah, especially when it's like your first relationship or first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anything when you're younger than, let's say, like 25, you know, you're still learning shit.
I don't think it's the age. I think it's the experience.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think you could be... I think I've met people that are in their 50s that are oblivious to relationships. You know what I mean? Like, but then there's like 18-year-olds who've had kids for 4 years and understand what a family is. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
You know? So that's, I mean, I think it all comes down to like trial and error. Mm-hmm. You know? You can be 100 years old and have no clue. I mean, I think no one has any clue really what's going on, but you can figure out how it works for you, I think.
And what about you? Are you enjoying single life? Are you dating? Are you in between, as many things are in between?
You know, I'm transitioning. I've enjoyed the single. I mean, comedy and work. I feel like in life you can hold three things. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
Like, or for my life, I can hold a job. Mm-hmm. I can do comedy. The girlfriend factor is the third thing that keeps. As soon as I pick the girlfriend up, something else falls out.
Ah.
So, until I think I can turn comedy...
into your job.
To replace my job, and then it frees up that extra hand, you know what I mean, thing...
I get what you mean.
Then I don't think it's... I don't know. It's going to be very difficult. And it's not something that I'm necessarily looking for, because I know that it will kind of hold you back.
I feel that way, too. That's why I kind of... use certain things as an excuse, like, I don't know how long I'll be in Chicago, and all that kind of thing, is not to get close to people, so that way, you know, I don't get attached and don't, like, if I get an opportunity, I want to take it. Because I've been in love before, to that point where you would move across the ocean for that person, and you would do anything, put them ahead of yourself, and I did that for a long time. For a long time, for years, I was in a relationship where I put them ahead of what I wanted to do and was important to me. And... looking back, I don't want to be in love in that way. Not right now. Not with all the shit I'm working on and the things I want to accomplish and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be selfish right now.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And I had to learn that lesson hard in Georgia, whatever. It's not a big deal because it's not like I can go out and do comedy every night. You know what I mean? So there's plenty of downtime to have a girlfriend. No big deal. Mm-hmm. But... when you hit the next level, you come to Chicago and you're really trying to work on the thing, you know what I mean? Then, like, that's got to be a focus. You can't go half-ass with it. You know what I mean? It's either you're working on it or you might as well just stay at home and have a girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I moved here, lived with a girl, you know, for a few months. It didn't work out very quickly. Whatever, I thanked her when we broke, because that's it, like, I broke up, and I was like, thank you, I would have never gotten to Chicago without you, you know what I mean? And broke up, a couple months later, started dating a girl, and it might have been one of the best relationships I've ever been in. But then I stopped doing comedy for 6 months, almost. Oh. Yeah, like, it was, I was just down to, like, going out, like, once a week, you know, to an open mic, and no one really knew me at the time. So there's, like, this weird gap of people that have seen me for a while, but didn't know me for a while, because I think 1 year into, almost 1 year into being in Chicago, I kind of, like, fell off completely for a handful of months. And then I just, like, woke up one day, and I was, like, I was very busy with being a not like a locksmith. Two, that was the thing, is I just started the locksmith job. So I'm working, like, 70 hours a week doing that. Then I've got a girlfriend, and then I'm trying to do comedy. And it's there's just not enough time.
Trying to find time to sleep and piss the bed once in a while.
There you go. So I was sleeping, you know. So for a year and a half, I slept for, like, 4 hours a night. You know what I mean? And then I didn't date her for a year and a half, but I just, one day I was just like, you know, she's like, you're too busy. And I like, yeah, you're right. And that was it. That was the whole breakup.
Well, that's honest and mature.
And it sucks. It sucks, though. It was tough because it's like, there's nothing wrong here.
Yeah, there's some people I wonder, like, if we lived in the same city, like, the only mm-hmm. difference is that we don't live in the same city.
Yeah. I'm
like, oh, if we lived in the same city, this would be perfect.
Yep.
Or if this other one thing wasn't happening, this would be perfect. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know.
I've had that, you know, especially if you move and stuff like that, that's kind of just, I feel like a natural thing that just kind of happens, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I've had that, not a bunch of times, but there's definitely one girl that we've both always been like, I think we're the married pack ones, you know what I mean? Like,
do you actually make one? I feel like I have an unspoken one with somebody, but
I think ours,
we didn't outright say it, because yeah, that's kind of lame.
We did. I don't think
no offense if you did that.
No. I know there's no like date or anything like that, but we've always just joked about like,
getting
like
married.
Yeah, just jokingly like one day we're gonna move and get married sort of thing. But it's kind of like, but it's totally one of those things. Like she has a boyfriend now and she's happy, and I'm completely happy for it. You know what I mean? Like there's
that's the same thing with my person. He, and I know he listens to the podcast, so I'm sure he's gonna get this, but like he's from my hometown, and every time we're single we'll hang out, you know, mm-hmm. when I'm home
yeah.
or something, and he makes jokes like, oh, like he's joked about us getting married before, and it's a weird thing. I wonder, like, you know, I wish we lived in the same city, but we never did, so never have really as adults, unfortunately. But he's someone I've known yeah. since I was like 13.
Yeah, see, same thing. And then like her and I would periodically hook up, you know, when mm-hmm. you pop into whatever city, wherever it happens to be that we kind of can overlap.
Yeah.
And then this last time she came to Chicago and we didn't hook up. Mm. You know, so I mean, it's kind of great though. You know what I mean? It's just like,
did you hang out though?
Yeah, she stayed at my house for the whole weekend and everything else. And I mean, it was there. It was right there. And it was just that moment of like, I think we got to stop this. We're, you know, not like stop it, but I was like, let's call it what it is. We're going to be friends forever. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's a good thing.
Maybe. I don't know. It's all unspoken and I'm sure I'll get drunk and try to have sex with her again. So I can't be held to the things I say. I'm a total hypocrite. So.
Yeah. That's, well, I hope it all works out for your thing, my thing. I always wonder, like, maybe in 10 years, I'll be married to that guy. Who knows?
Well, if you ever see me married, ladies and gentlemen, know that she's cool with people that pee on her.
If you ever see me married, know that he's cool with people that fall asleep on them. As we're winding down the podcast, I always ask people, what are your dreams for the future?
Dreams for the future. Mm-hmm. I want to, stand up for sure. Mm-hmm. I think I'll always do stand up. You know, I hope so. I think it's always going to be there. I can tell that it's something I feel like I can't go too long without doing. I ended an amazing relationship over it, you know? Mm-hmm. I think, definitely stand up. That's not going anywhere. I've been working on writing. I really enjoy writing. You know?
Like you want to write like screenplays or TV shows?
Just anything. I don't know. That's the part I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out what I really like. And it kind of comes down to what you can get. You know what I mean? So there's two parts of it. Like I would be interested in taking any kind of form of writing job just to see if it's a realistic career, you know, mm-hmm. which I write all the time. But like I said, you know, maybe it's not the TV show that I want. You know what I mean? I think, you know.
Maybe it's a series of short stories of your locksmithing days.
There you go. There you go. Or, you know, whatever. But I'll keep doing stand-up. Keep talking about peeing on people.
Well, thanks so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you. It was very fun.
And we always end up by going to sleep. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Don't pee on me. Thanks for listening to Sleeping with Sarah, where I slept with Brandon Kiefer. You can catch Kiefer on March 2nd at Uncharted Books and March 3rd at North. This podcast is part of the Laugh Factory Podcast Network. Please remember to subscribe and rate and review on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and SoundCloud. We're brought to you by Audible.com. Please go to audibletrial.com/sleepingwithsarah. I'm releasing a new podcast each week. Be sure to tune in to find out who I have in bed with me next. Thanks to Josh Bryant for the music. You can find out more on sleepingwithsarah.com. And please follow me on Twitter @SarahAllBritton. Until next time, good night.